Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is decidedly not Victory Monday, a day after an embarrassing loss to the Detroit Lions. The Packers head into a bye week, having tried to measure themselves against a contender and found themselves coming up woefully short. Nothing on a rewatch would suggest that the disappointment that you felt coming out of that game certainly reinforced watching the errors repeatedly throughout the game. There's no doubt that the Packers continuously shot themselves in the foot against a team they could ill afford to do so. Give the Lions all the credit in the world because they played not only a much cleaner, much better game, but they took advantage of those miscues and mistakes from the Green Bay Packers. However, as we often talk about, they do not hang banners for anything accomplished in early November. The Packers have a lot of football ahead of them and some time now over the bye week to look inward and look at what they're doing, how they can improve, the mistakes they've made, especially the repeated mistakes that hopefully can be addressed and somewhat smoothed over and developed from and grown from and learned from. Because goodness knows, through these first 9 weeks, we've watched the same mistakes over and over and over again. I'm not saying anything other than there's a lot of ball game left. There's a lot of season remaining. The Packers have to improve from here. I think they will. There's zero doubt in my mind that this team is still insanely talented. It is just incredibly inconsistent. It has to find that consistency. It has to find that groove that, yes, they found last year, but I see a lot of people referencing last year, which I understand, especially with this core group being so young. That's only the only season you've got with most of these guys together to look to. But just because something happened last year does not mean it's going to happen again this season. I know the hope is we're going to see them gel and move towards something akin to a run, much like we saw in 2023. But man, that is not a given. And these guys have got to get down and do the work for it to happen, for something, anything remotely approaching like that to happen. And that starts, of course, with the head coach and with the quarterback. The quarterback in particular cannot be throwing games away, which is essentially what Jordan Love did with that pick six yesterday. I know I probably sound like I'm being harsher than usual about this particular interception, but this is one that directly led to them losing that football game in a way that a lot of the others have not. Obviously, they've been able to overcome a lot of the other interceptions. But the entire kind of fulcrum of the game swing-wise happened on that play. And Jordan Love has got to be better. And it did feel like post-game yesterday, that's the first time I've really kind of heard him be somewhat reflective in the way that in the past, we've talked about how he's got the mentality where, okay, that's one play. I'm able to move past it and just keep playing. I think for the first time, he really seemed to be affected by and understood the weight of that mistake and that decision and how it simply cannot happen. He's got to be a lot more precious with the football. And that doesn't mean you need to limit the aggressiveness. It doesn't mean you can't still take, you know, somewhat smarter chances with the ball, but you got to know the context and where you are in the game. And at that very particular moment, he did the absolute worst thing he could possibly do, not only for himself, but for his team. That is something he has got to learn from 1,000,000,000%. Hello, everybody, commenting, mixing it up in the comments. So good to see you all. Hope you're all having a good Monday. I see someone already talking, it's a gloomy Monday here. Well, you know what? Turn that frown upside down. Got a lot of football ahead of you, buddy. Packers going to win a bunch more games this season. I guarantee that. Before we get going, you guys know what the drill is. Got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. That's right. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. And I know I say that. I say it every time. Made easy. Like, how easy could it be? It's incredibly easy. If you've never even played fantasy, let alone daily fantasy, that is not a barrier for entry here. It's super simple. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdraws, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. There's a link in the description of this video. If you're on YouTube, you can join in the fun tonight for the Monday night game. And I know, I hear you. Aaron, where is it available? Why, it's available in 43 different states, including Wisconsin, most importantly. As for tonight's game, that's right. I got my picks right up in here. I got two tight ends. I got Kate Otten out-dueling Travis Kelce tonight. I think Kelce, give me under 63.5 receiving yards. And for Otten, give me over 56.5. I think Baker going to throw one. He's apt to do so, especially against this Chiefs secondary. I got him throwing an interception. And Rashad White, I think he gets over 4.5 receiving targets simply because, I mean, the Bucs need to throw the ball to someone, and a lot of their mainline, frontline pass catchers are injured. So give me White to get 5 receptions at least on the evening. Shout out to all of you. I had a bunch of you message me over the weekend with your lineups. I really appreciate it. Bunch of people with their Packers lineups. I love that. Keep them coming. It's a lot of fun. Like I say, get on it. It's easy. It's fun. And I'm having a ball. And I really appreciate everyone who has signed up and used code CHTV. What's going on, everybody? We got Ryan starting us off with a super chat. How you doing, buddy? Guest Services was able to accommodate me yesterday. I was able to take a friend to their first Packer game. They said they want to go back next year. I'm really glad that worked out for you, Ryan. I know you had been kind of, you know, reticent or trepidatious about heading to Lambeau, but I'm glad they were able to accommodate you. I'm glad your friend had a good time. Just a shame you saw such a bummer of a game in such bummer conditions. Complicated fella. Thanks for the chat here. Hey, Nags, how about an impossible action tomorrow? A blockbuster trade by the Packers to give us something to talk about during the bye week. If you never ask, it will never happen. I don't see it happening, but I've been surprised by a lot of what Brian has done this year as far as his moves and things he's done to improve the football team. I'm not going to say it's impossible. I will say I'll be very surprised. How's that? Ryan, thanks again, man. I think my friend would prefer a roof on Lambeau. Well, yeah. You see, yesterday is the kind of day where if the Packers win, it's a lot of fun and you're in the rain and it's everyone's a vibe and it's great. But when you watch them shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly and lose a game and essentially get somewhat dominated by an opponent in the rain and in the crap, yeah, I can see how that's not an experience anyone wants to repeat. No doubt about it. Mick, did you see Quay with his arms around a ball carrier's chest but not making a tackle until after he was dragged for extra yards? Is there a measure of Quay's yards after contact? I did see, and probably I know the play you're talking about in particular was a David Montgomery carry. Have you seen David Montgomery do that to literally almost every single human who plays defensive football in the NFL? Look, I don't think Quay is a superstar. He was still your leading tackler yesterday. And yes, did he get or give up some yards after contact? No doubt about it. You know who hasn't given up yards after contact? David Montgomery? Nobody. I mean, look, this is my thing. Is Quay great? No. Was Quay wonderful yesterday in that game? No. Is Quay playing out of position? Yes. Can you win with Quay? Yes. I get he's a popular whipping boy, but he is far from even a major issue for these Green Bay Packers, especially yesterday. Danny G, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Really appreciate you, man. No Way Love should have come back in the second half. Game was over at halftime. Oh, I very much disagree with that, Danny. I do think there's a conversation to be had about sitting Jordan Love. I talked about that with Andy today on Let's Talk Football, which I encourage everyone to check out. I do find myself concerned for the young man fighting through injury, which Matt LaFleur literally admitted he is doing in his post-game presser yesterday. If that is the case, and he is fighting through injury while out there trying to make things happen, maybe it's time to have a conversation about sitting him down until he's right. Because God knows what damage he might be doing, not only physically, but mentally, what bad habits he might be incurring because he's trying to overcome these injuries. I love that Jordan Love is the face of the franchise. I love him as our starting quarterback. but let's get him right. He hasn't been right since week one. You invested in this guy long term to be your guy at quarterback. Don't keep running him out there when he's less than 100% and having him essentially start throwing the ball away because he's trying to make plays and he's probably pressing because he is hurt. I just think it's a bad slope that they're going down right now. And hopefully the bye week comes at just the right time and he does get right. And this is all academic, but man, he's making plays and making decisions and doing things that seem very uncharacteristic comparative to the guy we saw down the stretch last year. It's like he's completely reverted and or gotten worse in a lot of different ways. And I think maybe, yeah, he is trying to push through injuries. Well, okay, so let him sit and get right. I don't care about the next three games. I care about the next 3 years. That's your starting quarterback. You invested an insane amount of money in. Let's get him right. That's where I'm at. What else we got here? Adam, thank you for the super chat, man. I'm guessing the injury has something to do with this, but do you think Love is bailing from the pocket too quickly at times? Yes and no. I think there are cases to be made, and I think, you know, I'll echo Matt LaFleur here. I think it is a case-by-case basis. You know, each kind of play is its own animal, for lack of a better term. I do think, yes, he is somewhat seeing ghosts up front, dropping his eyes probably prematurely and feeling, quote-unquote, the rush that isn't there and is being picked up. But I also think at times, yeah, they're giving up some pressures and he's having to escape, and you mix those two together and what's real and what's not. And what do you have to do to protect yourself? Again, coming back to the injuries. I think it's a mix. I think it's a big mix there. I don't think there is a clear-cut answer, unfortunately. Craven, thanks for the super chat. Why is Matt always annoyed with Bill Huber? Okay, well, Bill, first of all, let me address this to camera. Bill, I love you. But now, having said that, I mean, have you heard those press briefings? Bill can be kind of annoying. And Bill, I say that with complete love. But here's the thing. I think Bill knows he can be annoying. Because I think Bill just asks, you know, he doesn't try to, you know, be a diplomat in any way. He just asks straightforward questions. And sometimes that can be a little off-putting and or annoying. Although I will say, Huber didn't even get the quote yesterday that, you know, Matt was saying that the questions were annoying. That was directed at Ryan Wood. So Ryan Wood taking over the annoying mantle for a day. Uncultured, what's up, man? No more rocket balls, please. From Mike Holmgren's lips to the football god's ears. Ryan, thanks for the super chat, man. I was at the game. The rain is not an excuse. They were just beat by a better team, plain and simple. Brian, definitely a better team yesterday. No question about it. And especially in that stadium, which is disconcerting and really hard to say when you're talking about a team that has not played outdoors all year and plays in a dome. You are the Green Bay fucking Packers. You play at Lambeau Field and you come in there and look like a JV squad comparatively against a team that is, like, you know, supposed to be a dome merchant group, especially on offense with their small hand quarterback who you can't get off the spot save for a handful of times and is, you know, throwing precision passes. Guys are catching them in the same rain that your guys are dropping everything. And the Packers practiced in the rain last week. That's what's so funny. You know, the Lions are out there in their dome practicing and getting ready for a game in the rain and come into that contest yesterday and have no issues. Packers look like the Bad News Bears, man. It was just disheartening, to say the least. Mike Witt, thanks for the super chat, man. What do you think has happened to Love and Stroud this year? Last year, those two set the world on fire. This year, not so much. Random Packer, Mossy Gate. Whoo, what a pull. Well, hey, the Love and Stroud thing is 100% what we talked about this summer. Development is not linear. It very rarely is. The offseason was spent by every defensive coordinator in the league, looking at not just these quarterbacks, but the team around them, their protection, how best to try and get them out of their comfort zones. And now teams have a bit of a playbook after, what, half a season? There's certainly tape on Stroud that suggests how you can take advantage of their protection issues in Houston. this is all part of it. And that's why I talked all summer that there was no guarantee that Love is going to pick up right where he left off. Now, certainly didn't expect him to regress like it seems like he has a bit, although I do chalk some of that up to injury. But yeah, it's tough, man, the NFL. This is why the greats are considered greats, because they do perform and produce at a high level with consistency. We used to hear Rodgers talk about this all the time. It's great to do it in a game. It's great to do it for a couple months. It's great to do it for a season. But to do it season in and season out for a decade plus, it is impossibly difficult. No one has arrived just because they have a good year or a good half a year. But the Packers and probably the Texans, they project these guys to be good going forward long term. They absolutely need Jordan to keep growing and developing and learning lessons from this first half of this year, hopefully this season, that will make him a better, more disciplined, more consistent quarterback for the next 5-6 years. That's the idea, right? That's why they paid him. They believe in his development. But that development is not linear. Teams are too good. They're too talented. They spend a lot of time figuring you out. And now Jordan is having to go through the gauntlet of, okay, we're going to let you do certain things, but we're going to try and force you to do other things. And can you fight not only us, but your own tendencies and that bait you into doing certain things? I'm not surprised that these guys are having a bit of a go here, you know, and that it's up to them and their coaches and the guys around them, because it's never just one guy, to continue to learn and develop and grow together. And it's a really unique situation with Jordan because he is surrounded by so much youth. It's not like he's got a ton of veterans to lean on. You know, these are all really young guys who are the early parts of their careers, who are all growing and developing with him. So that is a pretty unique situation in that regard. Joe, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Looked like a really strong rookie class last year, but only Kraft and Reed have made second-year jumps you hope for. Too early to be concerned? Yeah, I would say so. I mean, we're, what, you know, 6, 3, 9 games into this thing. I think we'll see how the back half kind of plays out. I think injuries have something to do with that, obviously, but I think there's a lot of ball game left there. Hell, I'm not even going to be, quote, concerned about anybody or anything as far as draft picks and selections go until at least the end of year three, for much the same reasons I'm talking about there with those young quarterbacks. It's never linear, man. It's never linear. There are bumps along the way. There are detours. There are dips. There are valleys along the way to high times and mountaintops. You just want to find consistency at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later. But God knows the NFL landscape is littered with dudes who end up on another team and find their stride and find that consistency. The Packers pretty much believe in, we're going to find that within our program. We're going to reward the guys who are trending towards or have found it in their rookie kind of contract years. And they build their system and their program around that. Other teams vary, obviously, but yeah, I think there's no doubt that it's way too early to be, quote, concerned about guys in their second year, at least in my eyes. Adam, thanks for the super chat, man. Great chat with Andy on Let's Talk Football Nags. You both are my therapy after a tough loss. I greatly appreciate that, Adam. Really, really appreciate it. God knows, talking to Andy is my therapy at this point. But really appreciate you checking it out. Thanks so much. Packers Dennis, greetings from Germany. Go Pack Go. Greetings from New York City. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for checking out the stream. Really appreciate you. Josh, thanks for the super chat, man. We know the buck stops with Matt LaFleur, but it feels like there's a lack of player leadership. Or is that even a thing that matters a lot in the NFL? Josh, that's an interesting statement, and I get what you're saying. I would caution, though, against trying to project anything when it comes to players and leadership from the outside looking in. We have no idea what dudes are talking about in the locker room, what they're doing, not even in meeting rooms, but hell, on their own, maybe outside the facility. It's always dangerous to assume a lack of activity just because you don't see it as a member of the public. You know, lots of times, yes, you'll get social clips after a win of guys hooting and hollering and talking together and maybe a guy making a speech on the sideline or whatever. and that's all forward facing. That stuff we get to kind of consume as fans, and that's great. We love it. But man, we have no idea what's being talked about or who's leading how behind closed doors. You know, and if we do know, it's usually because the team wants us to, or the players want us to. You know, it's just, I understand that feeling, but it's hard for me to kind of agree wholeheartedly when we have no idea who's doing what in the locker room, right? Patrick, how are you, man? Thanks for checking out the stream. Wicks is hurting the Packers this year. Bo should get more playing time at Wicks' expense. Yeah, you can't deny that Wicks has been a very big disappointment up to this point. I will just remind everybody that he looks very much the same way that Devontae looked his second year. And I'm not saying he's going to become Devontae. But this is what I'm talking about when I talk about development not being linear. And as for like at Bo should play more at his expense, I don't know about all that. I think they're very different types of players. I know Bo's got incredible speed, but Wicks is a absolute kind of release merchant off the line and can create separation in a way that pretty much no one else on this team can do. I understand why he continues to play because of that. And he gets open. He just has not been able to catch the ball with any kind of consistency. I do think there's something to the idea of limiting his snaps a bit more and allowing more guys to play as a core, right? Like having basically Watson, Dobbs, and Reed on the field the majority of the time and everyone else trying to pick, you know, a few snaps here or there, depending on injuries or the opponent and what they're trying to do scheme-wise, etc. But I don't know, man. It's for me, yes, Wicks is struggling. There's no doubt about it. But the talent level is undeniable. I think you do him a disservice in his development to completely cut him out of the rotation. But I agree that, you know, at some point you're trying to win football games. You got to get the guys out there who are going to be catching the ball consistently. And right now, Wicks is certainly not one of them. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. I'm getting sympathy from Bears fans. Freaking Bears fans. So glad we will run the table after the bye week. There you go, Ed. There you go. Some positivity up in here. Oh, Preston, I think you're pretty astute here over on Facebook. Not having Josh Myers in the game yesterday shows just how valuable he is to that O-line. I mean, yeah, there's no doubt that they still operated at a high level. You certainly were drawn to the bad snaps, and they cost the Packers points. Zero question about it. But I do think I've seen you're like the third person I've seen. Like, I believe I think it was Portmaster on the post-game chat was like, I will start going a bit easier on Josh Myers. Myers plays at a high level, and I understand he's not rated highly by PFF or whatever. I don't give a shit about any of that. For this team, this quarterback, this offensive system, he's a good fit. He does a lot, and he helps the offense way more than he hurts it. And you saw kind of the cascade effect there, right? Jordan Morgan's not out there. If Josh Myers is playing center and Elton's at left guard, when they try and take that shot to Reed, that's probably blocked up, and Jordan probably hits it instead of getting off the spot because Morgan lets that pressure through, and now he's flushed, and all of a sudden he throws the pick six, and the game totally swings. Cascading effect. What else we got here? Joe, what's going on, man? Non-Packer note, go watch Music by John Williams. Oh, way ahead of you. Greatly, highly recommended. Vin V, thanks for the super chat. Always appreciate Cheesehead TV on my ride home from work. Go Pack Go. Vin, we're happy to be here for you, buddy. Thanks for making us part of your Packer routine. Greg, thanks for the super chat, man. I don't mind losing to the Lions. They are a legit good team. I just mind giving points away. That's inexcusable. I think that's perfectly stated, man. And that is the frustration, right? That you tip your cap and you talk about how good the Lions are, how well coached and how well they played. I'm 100% behind all of that. But as a Packers fan, as a fan of the Green Bay Packers, to watch my team give things away, whether it's points or opportunities, what have you, with boneheaded mistakes or pre-snap penalties, or even like just selfish shit, unsportsmanlike conduct stuff, all of that, that's inexcusable. That's where it gets very, very frustrating as a fan. Bakester, 34, thanks for the super chat. Josh Jacobs, good at football. I think I agree with your police work there. Well stated. Klaus, thank you for the super chat, man. I couldn't support the retired player thing last night since I'm not in the U.S. Can you put this into that pot? Klaus, absolutely 1,000%. No question about it. Thank you so much for bringing it up. Thank you for reaching out and asking. Make certain that goes to it. Anybody who is not aware, make sure you join us for our watch parties all throughout the month of November. Everything that we do, every bit of revenue, all the donations, all the ads, everything going to Pro Football Retired Players Association. Greatly appreciate Klaus bringing it up. It's incredible. We raised, I believe, over $600 just from donations alone yesterday. That's through your generosity. Everyone who watches Cheesehead TV, amazing stuff. Really, really, really appreciate it. Henry, thanks for the super chat, man. Do you think we have the personnel to run 4-3 defense? Woo, baby. Not really. Not at linebacker. I think they're really stuck. And we talked about this in September on Packer Transplants. I think they're close up front with their defensive line, but I think at linebacker, they're completely out of whack. I think they don't have a true Mike. I think they have two weak side backers in Quay and Cooper. And as strong side, I mean, pick your poison, whether it's McDuffie or Wilson, either one of them is going to get overrun. I don't think they're anywhere close to the answer. Now, maybe Tyron Hopper turns into something like that, but yeah, it's they're not suited at all at linebacker at the moment. Now, you can't overhaul everything in one offseason. They did magical work at safety. Obviously, they're in desperate need of a renovation to the linebacker group. Of that, there's zero doubt. Soder, thanks for the super chat. This is where I miss Newman. Hate was more focused. Royce Newman, who did I say? I think he's playing for the Jets now. Oh, no. That was Hanson. Sorry. I can't get my Packers cast off offensive lineman straight. Craven, thanks again. What if Love turns out to be a bust? Seriously, though. And what if a asteroid flies through the universe and hits us in the middle of the night and we wake up to a radioactive dust cloud? Man, that is one of the things I am least concerned about. Jordan Love is insanely talented. He is going through a rough patch. There's no doubt about it. But I have the utmost faith and belief in his talent and the coaches around him and the players around him that he is going to get it figured out. And obviously the Packers believe that because they handed him the contract they did. I mean, I get like we're all afraid of like ending up in a situation where he's terrible and they handed him this contract. Could that happen? Yeah, sure. It could happen. And monkeys might fly out of my butt. So we'll see. Brian, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Yesterday was also Matt LaFleur's birthday. Not a good way to spend it. Yeah, I didn't want to like harp on that too much, but man, that's a rough way to live. Having that happen on your birthday. Man, imagine going home. Kids got the cake out. Blooms. Happy birthday. It's got to be tough. Sharif, thank you for the super sticker. Appreciate it. Sharif, thanks again. Bummer that we can't take advantage of the weather in Lambeau. Retracting dome cover? Oh, how I didn't miss Quay. Felt like the team fared better with Quay out. Man, I don't know what you guys are watching. Like, I understand what you're saying as far as, you know, guys stepped in and were productive. But did you watch Eric Wilson yesterday? Talk about a crash back down to earth, especially against a power running game. Quay, again, I say it every week. Quay's not great. He's not a superstar. But he is a cog in the machine, and he's certainly better than a lot of the other things and players they have on offer. I don't know why, like, people are pining for Wilson and McDuffie. What? As far as a retractable dome cover on Lambeau, sir, you can leave. You can leave right now. But I agree, it is supremely disappointing that the Packers cannot ever seem to field a team that is even competent in the elements, let alone able to take advantage of them and become the better team in the elements, a team that plays in Lambeau Field. This is an interesting question. How did Detroit pass us? 1 year, we're 14 points away from the Super Bowl while Detroit is winning two games a year. Fast forward to today, Detroit is the best in the NFC and we're fighting it out with Minnesota for second place in the North. Well, they had to rip, they being the Packers, had to rip the Band-Aid off that was Aaron Rodgers and doing everything, trying to get back to a Super Bowl with an aging superstar quarterback. They made that switch, obviously, at the beginning of last year while Detroit was building a culture and building a program. And Holmes has done an amazing job as GM. After failure at the GM spot in Detroit, they've finally found a very good personnel man who has done a great job building that roster. And even then, even with all the talent, they started, two, 3 years ago at like 2-6 or something like that? You know, but finally, they found their quarterback. They found Ben Johnson. They built their program. They built their team. And they've landed in a spot where they've been developing for a couple of years to this point. Hopefully, the Packers will get there sooner rather than later. But you got to remember, this team, this core that the Packers are utilizing, that started last year. I know it feels weird to say because LaFleur's been in town since 2019. But he came on board with an aging roster that was trying to get back to the Super Bowl. Then they turned the page and they have restarted their program. They are a bit behind Detroit in that regard. That's how Detroit passed them. What a question. What is the most hammered you've been at Lambeau? You know, that's a good question. I don't think I've ever been crazy hammered at Lambeau. I've been absolutely smashed at Soldier Field, but never really gone at Lambeau. I don't know. I think it's because the day stretches on and you're like kind of mid buzz all day because you get up so early and you're drinking your, you know, what do you call it? Your Bloody Marys to start. And then you get an old fashioned or two. And then you're going out and you're getting the beers in the lot. And then you go to the game and yeah, you might have a few beers, but you know, it's just, I don't know. It's always, you're always eating a ton of like burgers and brats and whatever. And then after the game, you're just hanging out, talking to people, having a good time. I don't know. I just never get stupid drunk at Lambeau. I don't know. I would probably have to go back to high school if I you know, really thinking about it. The other part of it is too, is that like, you know, for a good stretch there, I was working when I was at Lambeau, so I wasn't drinking. But just never been a big thing, I guess, for me. Sandy, thanks for the super chat. Felt to me like comedy of errors yesterday, and I know how much better they are than that. Well, that's the thing, Sandy, and I'm glad you brought that up. They are better than they showed yesterday. That's what's so frustrating. That's probably what drives Packers fans the craziest, that we know how talented they are. It is just blazingly inconsistent at the moment. Abdul, thanks, man. Hey, Aaron, did yesterday's game change your opinion on whether we should make a move at trade deadline? No, there's no magic elixir that's walking through that door to change the fortunes of this team. Now, if there's something on offer that makes sense value-wise, yeah, maybe Brian makes that call and maybe they make a move. But this is not a team that needs desperately this one guy at this one position that's going to change everything this year. That I don't agree with. That I don't see that at all. So, yeah, and yesterday, nothing yesterday that happened would suggest that to me either. Braden, thanks again, man. Do you believe that Jordan should have been on a snap count last night? I think having Malik in rotation would have thrown off Aaron Glenn's defense. Snap count? No, not a quarterback. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but you design your offense around your quarterback and the idea of how you're going to attack the opponent, and their weaknesses and their defense, etc. Going in between quarterbacks like that, I don't know, man. It feels like college. I don't think LaFleur would ever operate like that. Especially, again, if they deem Jordan able to play, they're going to let him play. They've invested in him. They want to develop him. They want him to be their guy. If he's on a snap count, he shouldn't be playing. That would probably be their rationale there. Aaron, thanks for the super chat. 90 needs playing time cut. He's playing bad. See, I vehemently disagree. Yesterday was good. Yesterday was a good development because he played more than Preston Smith, which he needs to do if he's going to get better. And plus, if you have him out there over Preston Smith, you're not losing anything because Preston Smith has done fuck all year long anyway. And look, I love Preston. I think he's been a great Packer. He's done a lot for this team, but he has been absolutely invisible this season. So I'd much rather have the young guy out there doing nothing and hopefully getting better and learning from it, breaking down the tape with his coaches during the week and hopefully developing things off of that tape that he can learn and grow and get better at. rather than trotting out Preston Smith more. That 100% want 90 out there. And yesterday was the first time we saw more 90 than 91. Abdul, thanks, man. What's your record prediction second half of the season?
I think they win 6 more games. How's that?
Craven, thanks again, man. Best cheese curds in Green Bay? Ooh, that's a controversial question. My favorite are Kroll's. I know everyone will jump down my throat for that, but I don't care. Those are my favorite. Ed, thanks for the super chat. When will Matt have the team start watching Packers Daily every Monday? I believe that will be when hell freezes over. Germ, thanks, man. Wish these linebackers and D-line could get it together. Sucks to spend so many high draft picks on defense for decent to mediocre results. Go Pack, go. Interesting you use the word results. They just held the Detroit Lions to 17 points. Yes, 24, but 6 of that is on Jordan Love. 7 of that, actually. 17 points. The Detroit Lions have been scoring 30-plus almost every week. I'm just saying, man. I get it. I understand it's frustrating to watch them move the ball, score, take control of the game. But at some point, you got to give a little credit. They can't be the 85 Bears every week. They did some nice things yesterday. Joe, thanks again, man. Offensive line is why the Lions are the best team in the NFC North. You certainly saw that on display yesterday. No question about it. They are excellent up front. Abdul, thanks again, man. Do you still count us as serious Super Bowl contenders today? After that game? No. But they don't contend for Super Bowls in early November. It's all about developing in the second half of the year. Win the next game. And then win the next game. And get better each week. But yeah, can they win the Super Bowl? Absolutely. Could they go on a run just like they did last year? No question about it. But as I said earlier in the stream, it's not a given. Nothing's handed to you. You got to do the work. But could they go on a rampage, go win the Super Bowl? Zero doubt. Absolutely. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.